Well, I've chosen my text for this morning from Psalm 127:1, and it is this passage here. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep. Father, we pray that you'll give us understanding from the word of God today. We pray, Lord, that you will speak into our lives and that we will hear from heaven. We need you, Lord. And Lord, over and over again, we discover in our lives how much we need God, how important it is to walk with you. And give us that emphasis this morning, O Lord, and show us that without you, there's nothing. But in the Lord, there is everything. And so we pray, Lord, for the presence of your Spirit just to minister here in this room in a powerful way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, there's one word that's mentioned three times. Can anybody find it quickly? Huh? Vain. Thank you. Vain. And in vain means emptily or without meaning. And he says here, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And then the watchman stays awake in vain. And in the next one, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. And what he's saying here is that the Lord is on one side of the equation and emptiness is on the other side. That's what vain means. We're having no meaning, no purpose, no life. So you have the Lord here and you have emptiness over here. And he speaks about three different areas of life. And I want to say this because everything that God does well. And the Lord wants us to understand the real meaning of life, the real purpose of why you are here and what he has for you in your experience. Individually, as a people group, as a local church, and as a community, this applies all over the globe and it applies for any time. And that's the beautiful thing about the Bible. This was written thousands of years ago, and yet it is as relevant as if it was written this morning. Because it is the word of God. The Bible says the word of the Lord endures forever. And so when we look at this passage of Scripture, the first thing he says, unless the Lord builds the house. And you can say, oh, he's talking about house building. He's talking about more than house building. And we'll find that out as we look in the Scriptures in a few moments. But the statement here is, unless the Lord builds. It is all about the Lord. How quickly your life goes through. How fast and fleeting it is. Talk to somebody who's 80 or 90 years old and ask them, you know, how long has your life been? Just like that, gone. Just like the Bible says, it's like a vapor. That it's like you're here today, you're gone tomorrow. It's like the grass that rises up and before long fall comes and the grass is dead. We are like that. The whole human race is like that. It is so temporary here. And we are fleeting, just passing through. And because that's the case, the few moments that you have to live in this world, you have choices to make. And those choices are relevant, and those choices matter. You know, a lot of people would say, you know, and many of us said it, and I've said it, I wish I could go back and do that over again, right? You know, okay, if you had a choice to be able to rewind back to a certain point in your life where a big crossroads was made, what would you do? Many of us would say, I want to go back and I want to get that done because the consequences of what I did or the decisions that I made are still affecting me today. But I want you to know you can't go back. And that's why it is so vital that in the moment that what you have left in your life that you need to respond and you need to respond to the Lord. You need to find God and you need to know God and you need to know him today. When we look at this, the building that we put together, we could have built it one way, we could have built it another. We could have said, okay, let's go to the bank and borrow money, which we didn't. We could have said, well, you know, we're just going to plan this. We don't need God in this because Luke knows what he's doing, and he does. And Gary knows what he's doing. At least he shows, seems like he knows what he's doing. And the guys that did, everybody did their work. They knew what they were doing. And you could say, well, why do we need God to build this building? Because when we allow God to do the work, when we trust God in the work, we see supernatural things happening. We discover that God is real and powerful and wonderful. I have a little statement here. It says this. There are two ways to build a house. One is to move ahead with plans based on one's own knowledge, skill, and financial resources. And then ask God's blessing on the completed structure. Say, okay, we're going to go do this and we'll ask God to bless it. The other way is this. wait on the Lord, has given unmistakable guidance, and then move ahead in conscious dependence on Him. In the first case, the project never rises above flesh and blood. It's just people doing work. And they do that all over the world. Buildings go up and things happen and all kinds of things are made. But here's what happens. In the second, there is the thrill of seeing God working through the marvelous provision of needed supplies, through the miraculous timing and sequence of events, and through the converging of circumstances that would never happen according to the laws of chance. It makes all the difference in the world to be building with God. And we have seen it. Have we not seen that? Anybody that's been here working in this building has seen the supernatural. We have watched God provide in marvelous ways. Last fall, and I'm sure I shared this story with most of you, but maybe not with all of you, but last fall when I came up to the building here and I was praying, and we had, this church had just taken on the full amount of my salary, which basically tapped us out. You know, not that I'm making big money, okay? You can check what it is. You can ask me and I'll tell you. So we were tapped out. And the question that was asked, where is the money going to come from to put this building together? There's no money left. And there wasn't. I said, I don't know, but God knows. Somehow He will provide. Don't know how. And Gary did a cost analysis, and I forget what the figure was, but it was somewhere around 89 grand. From last fall to be in this building this fall. And we had no money. And we had no, you know, okay, well, we're going to get it from here, we're going to get it from there. There was no there except one person, and that's the Lord. So when I came up and I was praying, God gave me a prayer of faith. And I have said, it's just a God thing. It's not a Pierre thing. God gave me a prayer of faith because I didn't have the faith to pray that we'd be in this building by next fall. I didn't have it, but God gave it to me. And I prayed and I said, Lord, provide everything that's needed that we will be in this building by next fall. And after I prayed it, I knew it was a God thing, but I was like, whoa, where did that come from? And the next Sunday, when we went to church, and I knew I had to share that this, otherwise, you know, where's, you know, he'd give me at least enough faith to be able to step out in faith and boldly proclaim what I knew that God had given to me. And when was going to share, I almost didn't because I was thinking, oh man, that's, you know, that's putting it out there. That's putting God out there, right? That's putting God in a place where, can God really do this? Of course He can. Anyway, I get over that. And I shared, we're going to be in by next fall. So Gordon said, boy, it must be late, late fall. But we saw the Lord provide. We saw the blessings of God. We saw marvelous provision of needed supplies. Do you know, we had no forecast of any funds at all. A week after that statement was made, $10,000 showed up in the account. And it just kept showing up. The work went on all winter, all through the summer, and the funds kept coming as the work was progressed. We didn't go out and raise money. We looked our hands, raised our hands to God, and trusted Him to provide, and He has done it in amazing ways. And I could tell you stories all day about the things that God has done, but I just want you to know that when the Lord builds the house, He does something marvelous in it. Because the building is not the be-all or the end-all. That's not the issue. It is walking with God in the process. It is discovering faith. It is growing spiritually in the Lord. Because this building will crumble to dust like every other building that has ever been built. It will all be a pile of dust someday. We're enjoying the newness of it, but it won't, you know, it'll all come to dust. But hallelujah, what God does in your heart in the process will remain for eternity. It will cause your character to be changed. It will humble you over and over again as we humbled ourselves before the Lord and waited on God, looked to Him, and trusted Him to make the way and provide. And as we prayed, as we began working daily, times of prayer and trusting God and looking to Him. As God raises up people from around the globe to send funds to build this little building here in Chatty Camp. God working. That's what matters. What matters is the Lord and being in a relationship with Him. And when he builds something, it lasts. But I just want to divert for a moment. I'm talking about this building here. But you know, there's something far more important than buildings. I've already said that. But what is important is your life. And I can say this from the Word of God, unless the Lord builds your life, your labor in vain. When you start out life, when you're a young person, when you're a teenager, you have plans, you have hopes, and you have dreams. And you want to move in those directions, and you have goals, and you try to go in those directions, but it doesn't seem to work. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But at the end of the story, many of us will look back and say, you know, I missed it. I lost so much. And that's not to say that you haven't gained a lot either. But when we look at what the Bible says, the Lord Jesus says this. In the Gospel of Matthew, he says this. Anyone who hears and obeys these teachings of mine, this is what he says, Matthew 7:24, is like a wise person who built a house on a solid rock. And the rain poured down, and the rivers flooded, and the winds beat against the house, but it did not fall because it was built on a solid rock. But anyone who hears my teachings and does not obey them is like a foolish person who built a house on sand. The rain poured down, the rivers flooded, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and finally it fell with a crash. And of course, great was the fall of it actually says. With a crash. And so the picture that he gives here is that your house is like a building. And if you don't build it on the right foundation, there's going to be a crash. Now, I want to guarantee you there will be a crash. And great will be the fall of that house. Here's how great it will be. That crash might come partway through life, where you're completely devastated, where you're completely undone. Sometimes from the consequences of what you've done, sometimes the consequences of what others have done to you. But that crash may come. It may come at 20 years old. It may come at 30. It may come at 40. It may come at your deathbed as you lose everything that you're holding onto that you think is valuable and you think it's going to amount to something and suddenly it's all gone. And that crash will certainly come when you stand in the presence of Almighty God and he says to you, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of sin." There will be a crash. Many people are thinking, I can go on the way I'm going on and everything is going to be okay. The folks that were on the Titanic, they had no understanding when they got on that boat. They were on the unsinkable boat. It was a boat that they said, the builders said in Ireland when they built it, even God can't sink this boat. Boy, that was a dangerous thing to say. And it sunk. But they were partying, carrying on. They had no. So a person may be going on in life and there's no crash, so they think everything is okay. But eventually that crash will come. I guarantee it because God has guaranteed the crash will come and great will be the fall of it. And oh, God doesn't want your house to crumble. God doesn't want your life to crash. But I'll tell you what, it's better to crash now than to crash in eternity. And if you've crashed, and if you've fallen, and it's been a great fall, there's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. Because God can take a broken life and God can take a life that's crumbled on the sand because the storms of life have totally devastated it. And God can take that life and build it on himself. Because this word of God tells us there is only one foundation that can be laid and that is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So hallelujah. Praise God that even when there's ruin, there's hope in this life. There is none on the other side. It's all or nothing here and now. And God invites us. And maybe you're in a situation where your life has crashed. I want you to know God can rebuild your life, but on the right foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people have turned over a new leaf and thought that was going to do it. But if you're still building on sand at the beginning, it doesn't matter how good the house is. It doesn't matter how able the structure is. If the foundations are bad, you've got trouble. You just got to go to Inverness and see the old mine houses. Do you know what they built them on? They built them on the mud. They built them on mud. And they just sunk into the mud. And you can see the results of it 100 years later or more, when they were built. Because they were built on a rotten foundation. And the only hope that any of them had was to actually lift the house and put a right foundation underneath it. And praise the Lord, God can lift you up and put a right foundation underneath you and give you a new beginning. Build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor for nothing. It is nothing. At the end of it all, you have nothing. At the end of all, there is nothing. It's vain. That's what the scripture says in Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And then he says, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake for nothing. And what he's saying is that safety is of the Lord. Surety and security come from God, not from man. Not the wealth that people build up and think, oh, if I've got enough wealth, I'll be happy, everything is going to be okay because I have enough money in the bank. That's not security. Not the, I've got everything I need around me. I've got all the friends I want around me and everything is kind of going good. That's not security because they can all go. And of course, you can go. Oh, my health. If I have, you have your health, what do you have? According to most people, if you have your health, you have what?
Everything.
No. No, if you have your health, you don't have everything. If you have your health, thank God that you have it. But I will give you a little word of advice just to let you know. You will not always have your health. You won't. It's a sure thing. Your health will fail. Everything will fail. You know, the Ecclesiastes says this, remember now your creator in the days of your youth. Lest the days draw near, and then begins to describe how a person gets old and can't hear anymore, can't see anymore, can't do the things they used to be able to do. It's going to happen. So, there's something that you can have greater than that. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's Him in there. Ah, I want to have the Lord in my corner for all of the alarms of life, for all the things that can come against me. I have the Lord on my side. Is trouble going to come? Of course it's going to come. The Bible says God causes the rain to fall on the just as well as the unjust. No guarantee of not trouble. But oh, I'm glad I've got the right umbrella for the rain. I'm glad I've got Jesus Christ. And if you don't have Him today, you can have Christ. And you can have the foundation. And you can have the safety and the security that only Jesus Christ can bring. And then the next one, it says, it is vain for you to rise up early, sit up late, eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep. And this here speaks about quietness of soul. The passage that we see here is someone who is striving and running and pushing themselves to the place where they can't even sleep. Now, I'm not talking about sleep apnea or something like that. I'm talking about anxiety ruling a person's life. So filled with anxiety and worry and fear and frustration and trying and striving. And there's nothing wrong with working hard. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about laboring in a place where there is no rest of soul. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's the one that brings rest to the soul. He's the one that brings peace in the midst of problems and troubles and trials. And unless the Lord is in it, it's vain. All your labor that you do under the sun is for nothing without God. Nothing. Oh, that we could see that and understand that I need the Lord for everything in life. I need Him as my Savior. I need Him to be the foundation. I need Him to be the building of my life. I need Him to be my focus in life. I need Him to be my direction. I need Him to be my peace. I need Him to be my power. I need God for everything. And so do you. May God open our eyes to this, because many have chased down the rabbit trails of life thinking, oh, this is going to do it, or now contentment will come, or if I had that, and if I've heard a million times, if I won the lottery, if I won the lottery, if I won Chase the Ace, if I won, over and over again you hear people thinking that if I did this, oh, if you had could do a study, and studies have been done on people who have won gambled money and find out what the actual results were of their lives, you'd be shocked. Not too many live happily ever after. And yet, we chase. People chase and think. All these other things, doesn't matter what it is. If only I met the right person that I could look in their eyes and fall in liquid love with them. That would be it. I'd be happy now. Only the Lord can bring the depth of satisfaction that you need in your life. So what are you chasing? What is the focus? Is the Lord everything in your life? You know, he says, "I, you need me to be everything, not halfway." Jesus said, unless you're willing to forsake all, you can't be my disciple. It's not a halfway deal with God. It's an all-the-way place of surrender, of looking to him, of trusting in him, of laying all of your life into his hands and say, "Lord, you build my life. I built long enough, and this is where it's got me. I want you to take over from here. Build the rest of my life, Lord. Be the foundation that I need. Be everything for me, because I need you." God can do all of that and more, friends, because he's more than able to accomplish what concerns you. So I want to encourage you, very simply, let the Lord have his way in every part of your life. Zechariah was faced with an impossible situation. And life brings those, doesn't it? It brings walls that are impossible. And I'll close with this. Zacharias was told to build, he was called to build a temple in Jerusalem, rebuild a temple. And he didn't have the means, it just was impossible. But God told him, and yet it was impossible. And I want you to know, God's telling you that he can restore, he can save, he can cause you to go forward, he can bring you through to victory, he can take the anxiety and the frustration, the worry and the fear out of your life and replace it with his presence and his joy. And you might think, I can't do that. I don't have the strength to do that. I don't know how that would happen. But here's what it says here. As Zechariah was faced with it, this is the word of the Lord that came to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So it's not by your strength, it's not your might, it's not your determination. It's not saying, I'm going to follow Jesus for the rest of my life and that's going to be the answer. No, I'm not telling you that. What it is this: I'm going to yield to Jesus Christ and keep on yielding to him, because I can't follow him unless he carries me. I don't have the strength to do anything for God. He has to do it all for me. To learn that and to grow in it changes everything. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he will bring forth the capstone with shoutings of grace, grace to it. And that was talking about the temple. He says, listen, Zerubbabel, that mountain that you think is impossible, I'll turn it into a plain. I'll make it happen. Can I encourage you today? Let the Lord build your life. Let the Lord have his way in your circumstances. Let the Lord be your protector. And let the Lord be your resting place. And in the midst of everything, you will find God is there. And God will continue to be there. We have discovered that in the hardships of facing cancer. We have discovered the Lord being there with us. We have discovered it in this construction. We've discovered it in every part of our lives. And I want to discover it more. And I want to lean more on Jesus than I ever have, because he is more than able to accomplish what concerns us. Please trust God. If you have not accepted him as your Savior, there has to be a crossing line somewhere in your life. You may be on the outside looking in. You have not trusted Christ. Then today's a good day for you to realize, I need the Lord to take this broken house and put a foundation underneath it. I need Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts, Lord, that you are more than able to accomplish what concerns us. Have mercy on all of us, O God. And if there's anyone here that does not have the Lord as their foundation, may they come to him today and surrender everything, the broken hearts, the broken dreams, everything into your hands. And Lord, we pray that this place on this hill will be a lighthouse, not to call people to a denomination, but to point people to Jesus Christ as the one who is the real answer for life, as the one who can carry us through this life and into eternity itself. Lord, we surrender to you. We know that this whole life of living is not by might, it's not by power, but is by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, so we're coming to you and giving you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray as well. You'll bless our food and our fellowship. And the word of the Lord says this at the end of all of that. He said, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the temple. His hands will finish it. And you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? God is able. And as we trust him and walk with him, we discover he is good.